7 a.m. on Monday, June 2nd, 2025. This is a UTSSD. We'll call this a board meeting addressing the county commission. I guess we should probably go around the room and let everybody know who's here this morning. I'll start. I'll let John start, and then we'll go.
John Sturmer, legal counsel.
Sean Labrum, UTSSD chairman.
John Larson, Uinta County Commissioner.
Julie Joy Hunley, admin.
Mark Raymond, Uinta Transportation Special Service District.
Ryan Cook, UTSSD board member.
Anya Norton, Uinta County Commissioner and UTSSD board member.
Willis, you here?
Yeah, I'm finally made it. Willis, Beaver County Commissioner.
Lauren Anderson, Uinta County Attorney's Office.
Mike Wilkins, Uinta County Clerk Auditor.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, sorry about that.
Jamie Spoon.
Public.
Joel Brown, public.
Robin Underscore, public.
Sean Murray, public.
Cheryl Meyer, public.
Wayne Semper, public.
Joel Gardner, public.
I'd like to make a note that, to the best of my knowledge, I think all the public and also the board members of the UTSSD 1 appreciate you guys being here. Commissioners, we're here to talk to you guys and discuss the possibility of how we're going to, just cut to the chase. We feel like we worked with and tried to for a year now work out, more than a year now work out, asset transfer agreement with this UTSSD 1, and we're still spinning our wheels. We've kind of come to the conclusion that there's no real incentive for that board to do a lot for us. I mean, I guess it's put the shoe on the other foot, and they were approaching us. We probably wouldn't want to hand over millions of dollars either. I mean, it only makes sense. And I mean, there's the money, and then there's the interest that's generated off the money and things of that nature that, I mean, can't really blame them, but we've got to figure out a way if we can to recoup some funds and get our own board sound. So that's what we're here to discuss and see what your thoughts are on it, and possibly approach the board, the commission, for a change in mineral lease allocations to compensate our losses due to the fact that we're just having such a hard time working out the asset transfer agreement. Any comments?
What have you done to this point to try to get your money?
I feel like over the past year we've made several attempts to talk with them and with their executive director. I personally have met them a couple times. I know every board member's talked. Well, I think all of our board members have been there a couple times and talked. And we've retained legal counsel and attempted to get it in black and white what we're asking for. Maybe the best person to answer that, if you want a more detailed timeline, I'll turn the time over to John Sturmer and let him kind of give you a rundown.
By the way, happy anniversary, John.
Thanks, Lewis.
So, John, just for the recordings, John Sturmer, legal counsel for UTSSD. So I came on board in January of this year. So what I was able to find previous to that were just off of the recordings of previous board members where I went on the public notice website and just listened to the minutes. Since about, I'll just say late spring, early summer of last year, because I don't remember the exact month when the first conversation started, but there were conversations between UTSSD board, and I believe Cheryl Meyer attended a couple of those meetings, and there were discussions about the transferring of funds. Going into late summer of last year, prior legal counsel to me had been putting together an asset transfer agreement. And then when I came on board in January of this last year, and then into February, the UTSSD board made by motion what they felt like they needed to have transferred over to the tune of, I'll just say, $13 million and change. That was presented to the UN Special Service District Number 1 in February, and then there's been a work session that was held. Well, there were requests for joint meetings, and then because of scheduling and other reasons, that wasn't able to happen. And then we were able to have a work session. In that conversation, I don't remember exactly when it was, March-ish. Oh, sorry, on another matter, March or so of this year, I was able to meet with Cheryl and Mike Harrington, which is the attorney for District 1, and then I was informed that they had never received an actual draft of the asset transfer agreement. I was under the assumption that prior counsel to me had been working out that draft language, and then found out that no, that actually had not been occurring. And so that was the first time that they had seen actual language of an asset transfer agreement, although dollars had been talked about, as far as I know, before then. And then we were able to have that joint meeting together from our board and the number one board, which was great. Obviously, there were differences of opinion, and there was good robust discussion, and that was excellent. And then we had the request to, they wanted to have another work session, if I remember the sequence of events. They wanted to have another work session amongst themselves, and then we were supposed to have a joint meeting this last week. That meeting was canceled by number one. And what we had heard is that they wanted to meet with the Uinta County Commission first before they met with us. And so we went ahead and held our meeting last week and discussed it as a board. And then the board came to the determination that at this point, it was time just to come talk to the county commission to see what we can do on reallocation of mineral lease funds in order to get enough of, if you want to say, seed money, enough money to be able to jump with both feet in on transportation projects. And then put this issue to rest. So that's the sequence of events as far as I'm aware. Hopefully my memory is clear. I don't want to. If I miss something, I'm not doing it on purpose. I'm just trying to remember all the conversations that took place.
Thanks, John. Understandable. I don't know how the timeline. Any of us's memory is perfect because there's a timeline involved. Ryan, would you like to take a little bit, put this out there in kind of the method that you explained it to me that made perfect sense?
Well, I'm pretty simple-minded, I guess. The way that I understood and the way I kind of thought of this was that basically we went in business together, if you will, in 2022, right? That one. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we went in business together in 2022, in 2020, and we brought $23 million, if you will, to the table in 2022, and in the next year, well, then $25 million was brought in, roughly. I mean, just rough numbers, and then we decided to go out of business, and we, rightfully so, with the District 1, I guess, they have no legal obligations to provide any funds or anything like that. It just seems reasonable to me that any money that's left over from 2023 or 2022 when we came together, when we came in together with $23 million, any money left over should rightfully come back to the district, basically. You know, I don't think anybody would go to business together and then split the sheets and not expect some of that money to come back with that business that they parted again with, if that makes sense. And that's kind of the way I've always looked at it, right or wrong. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but that's the way I've always viewed it, you know. And I don't think that I don't hold no harm to District 1 for trying to keep all the money that they've got. I think, like Sean said, if roles were reversed with it, we'd probably be doing the same. And so, but my general feeling from the meetings that I've attended was that District 1 basically didn't feel like that they had any obligation or responsibility to give us any funds. And so I think that's why we come to the commission to kind of ask for that reallocation of funds to get what we feel is rightfully should come back to District 1, or to Transportation District from District 1.
So. From what you've just told me, they have received $48 million in 2 years for transportation, give or take.
That's pretty close, I think, isn't it?
Have you ever seen an accounting for any of the monies?
We went to the auditor's office and got all these numbers from the auditors, I believe. Is that right, Sonia?
That's where
those numbers come from, with the auditors.
We've never seen any expenditures on that $48 million from transportation or from District 1.
We sent a letter to District 1 requesting these numbers, and we were referred to the auditors that we can get those numbers from the auditors, and so that's what we did.
Okay. You got any questions, Wills?
Yeah, I do. Right up front, first to Lauren and John Sturmer. Honestly, is there any connection between commission and SSD1? Do we have any say or control or anything? Or I was under the impression they operate separately on their own, and we do appoint the board members, but we have no control. Other than that, it is their board that directs it. Just trying to clarify it in my mind.
Do you want me to take that a moment? So under general service district rules, so I'll go general first, then I'll go specific to districts that are funded by mineral lease money. Under general service district rules, they can be one and the same. There's a lot of districts across the state where the county commission is the board of a special service district. In certain areas of the state, those that receive quite a bit of mineral lease money, under decisions from the 1980s from the U.S. Comptroller, their opinion was that there needed to be financial and political independence. That's the term that they use. So political independence is that has now been defined, that you can't have a majority of the board be county commissioners. So if you had a board of three administrative control board members, you could only have one county commissioner. If you had a board of five, you could have two. If you had seven, you know, just do the math. You just can't have a majority presence on the board.
But with that, John, if there's two commissioners, that's a quorum. So is that cool or not cool?
You still could, because
you
under
just have to announce it that way.
Well, because of under general rules, the county commission can serve as the administrative control board members. But because of needing to have political independence, you can't have a majority of county commissioners on a service district board. Now, historically, as far as I've been able to tell, Mike may know more than me, the county has typically always just decided to have one commissioner, county commissioner, appointed to any special service district board. That, regardless of the math, if they had 3, 5, 7, yeah, it doesn't matter. They just said, well, we'll just have one on the board to sit as an administrative control board member. So that takes care of the political, not having political influence. The financial independence is that the county commission cannot exercise day-to-day financial decisions of the special service district. But under state statute, the county commission has retained the authority to do allocations of mineral lease if they see in the public need there needs to be a bump in funding to fire, for example. The county commission at any time can look at the mineral lease allocations and say, okay, we need to do a bump or a reduction in funding in order to satisfy certain financial needs of different services.
On allocations, but once it's allocated, it's under the direction of the board.
When money is allocated to any particular board, that is then that service district's board's discretion on how they want to fund it or spend it. Now, that is under the parameters of their controlling documents, though. Like they, you know, so if they're set up for fire and then they want to start getting into, I'm just going to make something up, they want to start getting into economic development projects, that wouldn't be under their purview of creation, right? They're acting, the fire district would be acting outside of the scope of its authorities, and then there could be that, there then could be the legal challenge that what they're spending money on is unlawful, not illegal, not criminal. I want to make sure there's a clear distinction there. But that what the fire district would be spending their money on would be unlawful because it's outside of their creation documents. So there's still that check on that power. But if it's within their authority, and now let's get to REC, for example, if they wanted to take, if they had $5 million that they could spend on capital improvement, and they decided to put all $5 million in sports complex rather than the rec center, they have the ability to do that. If they want to take all $5 million and put it into the rec center and instead of putting it in sports facilities, they could do that as well. Now, on the allocations, then, if one of the districts year to year were to go too far with that discretion and the county commission was like, you know, this isn't, we don't see this serving the public need, we'd rather have this money go to fire, then the county commission could do that. It's a statutory dance. But the general answer is once they have the money, it is their money, and that's not a question here. When the money was transferred at the dissolution or the combining of the service districts, money was brought over from transportation to USSD 1. And then USSD 1 has full discretion on how they want to spend that money under their creating documents. And under that time, it was transportation, impact mitigation, and recreation, right? Those were the three purposes. Now transportation has been pulled out, and transportation is an independent entity. So that's kind of where that request is.
Those allocations, you're clarifying what I thought. I appreciate it. So when those mineral lease monies were allocated in the past with transportation part of it, there's not allocated so much to transportation side of SSD1 because they're all lumped together. There's not so much to recreation or so much to impact mitigation. It's one lump money at their discretion. There's no division. There has been no division on how.
No, it's not colored. But the county commission could look at the purposes and say, okay, for number one, to take care of transportation needs, recreation needs, and impact mitigation needs.
As they see fit.
Yeah, but here is the lump sum to take care of those three needs. Then number one is able to look at that during their budget years and say, okay, this year we're going to spend this much money on all of these purposes, which is under their discretion at that point. And then the county commission is able to sit back and look at all of that among all districts and say, okay, how are the public needs being met? And if it starts getting too skewed, then the county commission always carries, the county only has sticks. The county doesn't have carrots, if that makes sense. So they have the power to change the allocations, and the county has the power to either create, merge, or dissolve districts. But they're just sticks. There's no finesse, right? I mean, sometimes maybe it would be nice if there was finesse, but according to the U.S. Comptroller, the county can't insert itself into the day-to-day operations of a district.
So thank you. So what I'm gathering out of that, anything I may or may not say would be a personal opinion and not as a county commissioner, because we have no authority. I know John always reminds me and tells me, you can't just speak for yourself anymore. It's viewed as the county commission. But from what you're saying, what I'm saying is the people on this wall, less Cheryl, has the ability to say yes or no, we're going to play ball or we're not going to play ball. We're going to give you money or we're not going to give you money back. And what we can do is with their decision, then we can make decisions going forward that impact.
Yeah, further according. Yeah, yes, that's a good summary.
Okay, let me interject. I made a mistake. This is a joint meeting with the Transportation Division and the Uinta County Commission. Therefore, the County Commission is holding a meeting. It started at 7 o'clock. So we will be in session as County Commission for Uinta County. Is that all right? Okay. I apologize for that. Okay, we can continue on now. Okay. Who's the chairman of the board? Lucky devil, you. I do have a couple of questions in my mind. Has there been an accounting of what that money was spent on? Has it been published? Did we have access to that?
Jamie, come to the microphone, please.
We have access to?
I would imagine this.
Just push the button. There you go. Okay. In other words, do we have a way to find out where that money was spent?
Yes. Yes.
Everybody looks around.
I mean, there is a commissioner that's on our board that has access to it. Right. The budget tells you where it was spent.
Yeah.
And the financials for the year end show where it was spent.
And how much have we spent on transportation?
These were not numbers that...
Carol, need to get a mic, please.
I just need to get a mic a little closer.
This is just, we're just... Why is mine the only one that... like
you're the only one loud enough.
I guess.
Everybody else be quiet.
We were just attending this meeting as the public, and so we did not come prepared with any numbers. These numbers have all been made known to the board at different stages in different communications. So I don't think it's fair to put Jamie on the spot as to ask him specific numbers. But the timeline coming up to this, I just will say, is there's a lot of missing pieces from what John has stated. So, but again, this isn't our meeting. We just saw it on the agenda, so we thought we'd come in.
I think
today is the day, though, to talk about it. I mean, in all fairness, you all have a meeting with the county commission at 9:30. So is something going to happen in the next 2 hours that you will have those numbers ready?
Our commission is very different, and it was based off of our work session that we had, that there was a discussion of coming to talk to the commissioners, and it would be a lot easier conversation to have about the asset transfer. We had to have a few questions answered before. Commissioner Norton was a part of that meeting. We thought that was a very good solution coming forward, and then this meeting being held 2 hours before our meeting made it seem like nobody was prepared to listen to the 9:45 meeting.
I think I can look at it as we were trying to be prepared to find out what one side was before I heard the other side.
And I think that's fair.
And
yeah.
What I've seen, did you guys publicize that there was a public meeting at 9:30? Okay, because I got told you hadn't met. I was concerned. So
it's a work session for us.
Okay.
So Ryan, you as speaking to the transportation board, you said you took over $23 million.
I think when the districts combined, when the transportation had $23 million
went over there.
Roughly. I mean, I'm not.
So I'm just trying to get things square in my mind. So what may or may not be a question is the $23 million, correct? Because anything after the $23 million would have been given to SSD1. So
correct.
In my mind, the difference is not what happened between 2022, but prior to 2022, and it going to SSD1, correct?
I believe that's correct, yes. Okay.
I'm good. I'll have a ton of questions for him at 9:30.
Are we 9:30 or 9:45?
9:45.
9:45.
Okay. I'll have a 9:30. 9:45, I'll ask.
I will be here. Just trying to get it straight. Yeah. 9:45.
Okay. So what I've got to get square in my mind is on the $23 million and when that goes over. I realize it was transportation at that point. Was it spent? Was it not spent? But when it went over, is there really anything that, as a commission, we can do? Because I think it went as their money, or it's a new transportation board, because this is a whole new setup from what it was. So it just, I'll stop there. Making sure that's square and clarified in my mind.
As far as I understand, we can't do anything once the money is allocated, like
that's
you said before.
Exactly what I'm
so it's already there, it's with USSD1. They
that's
get to
exactly
decide what they want to do.
What I'm thinking, it's their money, they received it legally and lawfully, and it's their decision, so we'll let them make that decision. In my mind, speaking to the transportation board, we'll let the other board make those decisions, and we can either act or respond or whatever we choose going forward. I'm just, what I'm feeling like for today in this meeting is that's history. Can't change it. It's written in the books. All I can do is affect what's going to happen going forward and make the best decision that we can. And the ball is not in Transportation District's court. It's held by someone else. And so we have the ability to change the rules to the game going forward. But history is written in the books, and it is what it is.
So it will probably be helpful for the County Commission on the breakdown. So from the Transportation District meeting last week, they're coming to the County Commission today to formally request that the allocations be changed going forward to the amount that transportation can receive, an additional $13,405,224. That is to cover the difference between the $23 million in change and the $15 million in change that was expended. So there's about $8 million there, and then various amounts that were committed to projects that then the Transportation District, now that it carries that responsibility, to complete the Red Wash Road project, the 7500 East project. I really should have brought my reading glasses. I'm getting too old now. How powerful are those?
1.2. Five.
Oh, look how beautiful that is. Okay. Oh, my gosh. So embarrassing. 500 North from 1500 East to Sunshine Bench Road, and then the 2500 West Ashley Creek Bridge Road project. So that's where the $13.4 million comes from. Thank you.
Is to finish those projects.
It is, yeah. So it's the amount that's left over from the money that was sent over at the time of combining the districts, and then what was expended on transportation. So kind of that leftover amount, and then the amount that's been committed as match money for those projects. And the some of that money as well from what was transferred over and then transferred and then coming back, there's debt service that needs to be met. It's the Transportation Board's opinion that there needs to be a clean break, both in services and in and financially with debt. So any of that debt needs to be transferred back over to transportation, and then we need to be able to make those debt payments. If I remember right, I'm looking at you, Ryan, as the finance guy on the board. How much money do we now? We had a certain amount of money, and then we've now committed a certain amount into different projects. So we're at this point we're running a little low on available funds to be able to take on any additional transportation projects.
Right. We're sitting right about $7 million. Just so the commission knows, we only took in $2,000 $2,000 last month is all that the district took in, was $2,000 last month, and so we can't really survive with just taking in $2,000. You know, we get hit with too many of those, but then we're going to be in, I don't want to say trouble, but we're not going to be able to operate like we would like to, you know. And we have committed to the Independence, is that correct?
Independence Area Road Project.
Road, and other projects that we're tight as it is right now. So.
Do you want to just go with the brief summation on what our obligation is to CIB on that project over there? We've got to have a certain amount of funds set aside to cover or year's worth of expenses as well.
On the
on that Independence Road.
I don't have the breakdown on that.
And I don't either. So
Sonia's looking at her brain over there to see if Sonia's able to find it.
If you got your 24 on it done.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I think it was $3 million that we were obligated to.
So I was thinking that as well, but I didn't want to spit it out because I hate doing that. But that's another obligation we're going to be hit with sooner.
With the $3 million.
Yeah.
And did you just tell me that your operating capital was $7 million? Is what you have?
Correct. Roughly.
And so $3 million is worth. You've got $4 million left, uncommitted operating capital.
And then there's the 7500 East project, which we're at 2.5 on that one.
Yeah.
Something like that. And the Red Wash Road coming up, roughly. I don't know if I speak on that one. I don't remember what that one is exactly.
There's.
Ours is $3 million.
On the Red Wash Road. Yeah,
$3 million is coming from road. The County B Road. So a total of $5 million.
There's $4 million between the Red Wash Road project and the 7500 East project.
How much?
Four million.
$4 million?
At least those were the numbers that were discussed in the transportation board meetings the past few months.
Any other questions, comments?
So, Sean, I've heard a term, and I'll ask the other board this question when we meet with them, but I've heard the term a project district. Are you a project district, and what would be your definition if you are? What would be in your mind? What would you term a project district?
Well, in my mind, we are a project district. Yes, that's what we're here and been designed to do. And then I guess to answer the question of what we would deem a project,
we just take a look at priorities around the county as they're presented to the board and determine the need based on several different methods of determining that need, I guess, I don't know, but and then try to prioritize available funds with the need. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that kind of does.
If I could jump in and just add something, Sean, that I know in our board meetings, when we went through and we prioritized the projects to the top of the list being projects that are directly related to the oil field industry that is to help regenerate and rejuvenate these funds that are coming in and try to help that, you know. I know that Scott's came with a lot of roads that we've turned down looking at just because they aren't related to the oil field industry, you know. And so that's where a lot of these, when you call projects, well, that's where a lot of these projects, 99% of them actually right now, we're focused on is out in the oil field roads that are getting impacted by the oil extraction industry.
So would it be fair if I, what I'm hearing is you have a list, you prioritize them. Is that what you would refer to as like a master plan or a direction going forward and for how long, how many years out do you think you have that projection for?
Years out projected for, I don't know, all those things are, in my mind, they're directly related to how much funds we have coming in, you know what I mean? And what we can prioritize as projects in relation to those funds. What was the other part of your question?
If you would consider that a master plan, or I realize that, you know, your plan can change with a new lease agreement, with a new drilling program. It can change relatively quickly. But what you have on the books and what you see currently is what you can do away.
Those are currently the roads that we have prioritized as top priority, I guess you could say, you know, coming down the list.
Also, to be clear, the Independence area, the work we're doing over there is just phase one of a three-phase project. Anticipated the prices will go up every year on as inflation goes up. This is just phase one, and so there's two more phases to finish that project.
So is the $1 million that SSD1 spent on the upper portion of Independence Road part of phase one, or is that, would that be considered a separate piece of?
To my knowledge, it's a separate piece.
Okay.
Any other questions? Comments? I'm going to adjourn.
Yeah, and the county will adjourn.